Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to another exciting, blessed training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I trust you had a blessed Easter Resurrection Day. Amen. And it is yet going on. Amen. Because this is a day that the Lord has made. Amen. And we shall rejoice, 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 rejoice. Amen. Despite any challenges you may be facing, they are temporary, but your victory is guaranteed. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah, and the blessed Holy Ghost, and Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife, and saints and friends that are listening. I say praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for your prayers. Amen. Because, amen, this is a blessing. You know, when you come to really understand what prayer can do, and how, but really, how that God, the God of creation, honors and listens to our prayers. Amen. This is one of the things that we have to have the revelation of from God. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this marvelous opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you for the blessings that you have provided for us. We thank you for the mindset to know that you are our God, that you are our God. And we thank you for that. Father God, we're asking that we thank you that you paid for this privilege with the blood of your own Son. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom, and yet a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus the Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you already have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you made available for us that submit and obey you. Father, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you to bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your children and even my own. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, I remember back in the 70s when I, you know, once God became, once I got delivered in, he gave me a clear revelation of his existence and that I needed to draw closer to him. And I immediately began to read his word. And the Bible is a complex book. When you think of the Bible, you have to think of a giant puzzle. You know, in back of me, if you see it on the video, which I posted on YouTube, is a picture of a map. Now, imagine this map cut up. The map is like 3 feet by 4 feet. And imagine it cut up into little three-quarter inch pieces that would count out to be about 5,000 pieces. And you know, you see the picture. When you get the puzzle, you have the picture on the box. And then you have to proceed to put the map, put the picture together piece by piece. And that's how the Bible is. Think about this whole process. I mean, God did not have to go through these extremes. I mean, he could have built a perfected world day one. The world that you read of in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 could have been the beginning. And that way, and we would never have known this except for the fact, the reality of the type of nature that we as humans have. We are definitely different. We are different in the fact that our nature. You know, I remember when I first heard the term, man is a God-class being. That's small g, magistrate, power and authority, amen. And that he, you know, that right there is why he is has to be prepared to be that person. Being a person of authority over the universe of God. This is what God is planning. He is not expanding the universe for us just to stand down on this earth and look out into it and just see a bunch of lights in the darkness and that, even though that glorifies him, he is intent on us visiting out there because his home is in the third heaven. Further than that, than what we know. And but still, as you can see with mankind, having power and authority can be challenging when you are manipulated by a spirit being that you can't see, and even by your own imagination. You know, I had a teacher that said, pay attention to detail. And when I start paying attention to detail, I start seeing things that I think needed answers because I have had those questions posed unto me. I recently released a book called The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. And that was the fact that God never intended man to make a religion. God is our religion, period. Man, that's it. Anything outside, but we are to teach people, as he says, I believe in Deuteronomy chapter 6, to teach them, about him and his kingdom. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament have one message, the kingdom of God. And the reality that we are part of that kingdom is what this is about. Now, we have the ability to make up our own mind and decide to be a member of his kingdom or not to be a member of his kingdom. And the reality is that one of the things, when we're talking about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the need for our redemption, but you have to understand the reality of why we needed to be redeemed. It was because, one, I'm not God. So being 100% perfect, righteous, every hour, every minute of the day is something that's just not possible. And with God, he demands accountability for that time when I'm not acting like I should or according to his word. Now, I don't even get the standard that he requires is what is written in his word. And that's where a lot of people come up short. But and even when you know it, we are being challenged to comply with it. I mean, again, as I say, he could have very well made this earth and we never have known evil. But apparently, when you look at how people can, a person evolve, how they come out of their mother's womb as a child, and as a child immediately become manipulative. It's amazing. I was listening to a program. I was watching a program where they are learning more about baby language. In that, by the way, a baby woos and a way a baby cries, you can kind of get a revelation of what they are demanding at that level. You know, and it's amazing, like they, parents, women particularly, are good at this. They can tell the child is uncomfortable and needs a diaper change, or the child is hungry, or the child wants to explore and see different things. And it's amazing, you don't have to tell them to make a whole lot of noise to if they want to be picked up, and they'll do it until you do. They comply. And as a child, that spirit in them, they're constantly learning to manage that spirit. If you remember, if, you know, you watch them and you notice they don't come out of the womb talking as I am talking right now. They have to learn to master that massive molecular structure that they live in called a body. And as we grow and age, now you, as you progress through life, the challenges become even greater. Because you're now dealing with things that you probably never expected. I remember when I was young, I would say about 7 years old. I don't know what was so magical about seven, but at the age of seven, my grandmother lived two blocks away from me and on my father's side. And I was allowed to walk by myself over to her house. And it's amazing, like now you have to watch your children out in the yard, in some cases even in the house, you know. But, and I remember encountering a block away, encountering this man, an Anglo man, being called a name I did not recognize. I could tell by his face that he was not happy with me for some reason, of which I could not discern. You know, but I realized that there were people like that in the world. Now, that's the use that he chose for his power. And if you see that in throughout any society, I was surprised, I don't want to say surprised, but when I had become aware how much the Japanese and the Chinese hated each other, okay, and you know, it was the same as what you would encounter in America between Anglos and Afros. It's really just amazing. But the whole thing, that this is why God desired that we learn to master love for him, which means we have to love him and his creation. And he says that in the next, that's in Matthew 22:37-39, love your neighbor. And that's everybody on the planet. There's everybody anywhere in need on the planet that needs your help, your love, your presence. And one of the areas that we have been allowed to help a lot of people right now is through prayer. That's why I say prayer is God trusting you with his power. He allows us access to his authority in the world through prayer. So, now, all of this, but still, there comes the reality because of the first man, we got into a situation. Well, the first man brought the reality that we're not God. You know, we're not perfect. That's why Adam sinned, okay? He would have had, Adam didn't even have the advantage in him, deep in him, was the revelation of the Word of God. But he didn't know it was there to that degree, and what it would require. So, but here we have a full revelation. We have, like I said, we have Bible commentaries, videos, teachers. We have so much to provide us with that information. Therefore, it even more so eliminates us making an excuse. So I'm saying all this to say that, one, you have to get this revelation. You absolutely must take time to simply ask God for it. It's that simple. It's that I could talk to Lum Green in the face, which can't happen, but for you to get the revelation of what I'm talking about, you would still have to go to God. All right? So last week, we were talking about the blood, amen, as it pertains in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 17, particularly. But I want to read a little bit of Leviticus chapter 16. And I want you to get, matter of fact, make that Leviticus chapter 4. Now, you got to get the revelation of this, the picture of this. This is after the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt. They've been in captivity in Egypt for 430 years, or 400, I'd say 400 plus, because if you listen to theologians, you won't get the same amount of time, but they'll all be over 400. I haven't heard one that say 399 yet. You know, FYI, don't debate with anybody. Anything that they don't know, they don't have a revelation of. And if God gives revelation to those who desire it. He's very economical. He will not waste time on anybody that does not want to know what he wants them to know. I'm just going to read a portion of this, but I want you to get a picture of this. This is, the key words is sins. Because it's, again, there's the necessity for accountability. This, I'm still trying to draw a picture of why Jesus had to go to the cross. And that is because if you get the revelation, not only the depth of the jeopardy we were in, but the jeopardy level is because of our nature. As many times I have said that we will have the same qualities and skill sets that Jesus possessed now. I mean, the ability that he has now that he did not display all of before his resurrection, even though he walked on water, that in and of itself, it says a lot. Because you got to really get a revelation. One thing that I think might help you, there's a video called Beyond Space and Time by the late Chuck Missler. He passed away. He was a NASA engineer, and he tried to convey the same revelation that I'm trying to convey, but he approaches it with the knowledge that he has as an engineer. So that will help you. But the takeaway is the magnitude of who we are and what we are dealing with, because we barely, as Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, tinted windows. You know, I have real tinted windows on my car, and I've had a car with the driver's side windows tinted, and then at night I could barely see out of it, and it made challenging for navigation, so now I stick with normal. So when you talk about seeing through a glass darkly, that means you can barely understand. You barely comprehend what you're seeing. And when you listen at this, just listen, because on a norm, this is not your daily conversation. You know, you have to lend your mind to the beyond the natural. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, this is Leviticus chapter 4, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally, does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest, that's the top dog, okay, bring guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He has to present the bull at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. He has to lay his hand on the head and slaughter it before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the blood, bull's blood, and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it of seven times before the Lord in the front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest then shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, a fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and the rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar, base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from the bull of the sin offering, that the fat covers the inner parts or is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat of them near the loins, and the covering of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys, just as the fat is removed from the ox sacrifice, sacrifice as a fellowship offering. Then the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering, but the hide of the bull and all his flesh, as well as the head and the legs and the inner parts off, and that is all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonial clean where the ashes are thrown and burn it in a wood fire as an ash heap. Now, I'm going to read verse 13 to say, if the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally, and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's command, even though the community is unaware of the matter, they are guilty. All right? So, again, now, this is what is called a typology. It's something that God, typologies is what God do physically to show what is going on spiritually. Now, spiritual world is the real of the real world. And what Satan has managed to do is convince people that this physical world is greater than the spiritual world. But it is not. At some point in time, this entire planet will be, well, I can tell you exactly 1,007 years after the white throne judgment, and that's in Revelation chapter 20, God going to make 21, he's going to make a new heaven and new earth, and then he's going to completely deal with this one, destroy it by fire, because, you know, fire does a thorough cleansing, more so than water, and gives us a brand new fresh one to start out with. New heavens and new earth. That means everything's cleaned up, all the pollution. Remember, this nation by itself blew up 1,013 nuclear bombs, so that stuff's still floating in the air. They're talking about global warming. Man can't fix that. You can stop driving cars, and they cannot fix that. That's just a chain reaction. If it falls into the category of the laws of matter, will never be repaired. God knew that. That's why he would not let man, long time ago, thousands of years before Jesus, do what we do, because Jesus wouldn't have had no place to come to. If men like Archimedes had been allowed to advance forward with their knowledge, they would have, before Jesus got here, had a mess so bad that he would have had to do more than just save men. But God had this whole plan. Remember, this is just the beginning. Now, you know, I talk about the fact that first-gen man is from Adam to Jesus, second-gen man from Jesus to the rapture, third-gen man is after Jesus come back and rule the planet. But the intellect capability, right now you have an imbalance, but for a purpose. Okay, you got some people that possess more intelligence than others. Okay, but they both have to learn to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. See, this is what we are here to learn, to manage our spirits under pressure and challenge. Okay? Now, so here you got all this activity. Then look at this. Now, you know, compare that to, let's go to 1 John first and watch 1 John. It's toward the back of the Bible. Don't be, if you're new, don't be afraid to use your index to find it, you know. You know, when we was in Bible school, we used to have to recite the books of the Bible so we'd become familiar where they are. You know, and it's sad that I met somebody who went to a seminary, and I see why they call them cemeteries. It says where faith goes to die. because they couldn't tell the difference between Chronicles and Corinthians and what part of the Bible they was in. And I'm like, well, you know. Anyway, so 1 John 1:8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, talking about God, and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, so, you again, this is what I'm saying, that you must recognize that you can be in jeopardy. You are born in jeopardy. You know, God set a standard. I'm not going to debate about what the age of accountability is, because there is one reality to that, because some people, like Jesus, were specially gifted, and even now, some people have been given more revelation at God's choice than others, and that would change their responsibility level. You know, this is where we get into, don't waste time on that. That's God's deal. But I do know every adult, I would say, over 21 is accountable for their actions. And if you know that, as you saw, when he began that process, mind you, that's when he was bringing them into, he's taking it to another level. Okay? What they were dealing with was, it was just that, the next level, the level of law. I'm not going to get into this, but I'm going to try to avoid not getting into dispensational teaching. But as a matter of fact, I do. I want you to go back. I want you to see what I want you to gather from this. We're going to Genesis chapter 9. Okay, this is after the flood. And again, we're going to be talking about the blood. See, now you got to remember everything that went into Adam in Genesis 2:7 came from God. So the laws that we are seeing written and exposed and given revelation of was always in the heart of God, as was our creation, which is why, matter of fact, now you if you hear this right here, this right here will tell you why abortion is such a sin, okay? All right, this is after the flood, the water then receded, God making Noah, giving Noah some instructions. I'm going to start with verse 1. It said, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth. That didn't happen before the flood. That didn't happen before Adam sinned. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the earth, and that will end when Jesus comes back too. And all the birds upon the air and upon every creature that moves along the ground and upon all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. They were basically vegetarians before the flood. Then God is opening up this new level here. But you must not eat that has its life blood still in it. Remember last week we talked about that, the fact that, you know, they basically, that's what the smoking process was. They would hang an animal upside down, let all the blood drain out. Blood drains out of the veins, okay? Blood out of the veins and whatever that other part is. What's in the meat itself is not, blood is myoglobin. You know, it's a different process, you know, because that's still there. You dehydrate it with heat and other processes, but it's still there. That's what gives the meat its taste. The less myoglobin, the less taste. You probably had some food that did not have taste to it, meat, steaks, like different cuts of steaks taste different, you know, and that's due to the level of myoglobin within the steak. That's why they charge you more for it, too. It says, for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man, too. I will demand an accounting of the life of his fellow man. whoever now, this is the first order of capital punishment after the flood. It says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made man. All right. So the point here that I want you to get is that this part of the law was already in the heart of God, and he brung the revelation to man by speaking to man. And one of the things, this is why I advocate so strongly that you go to God, because he will bring the revelation. Once you get it from God, it can't be taken, shouldn't be able to be taken from you. You can surrender it, you know, but it can't be taken. And he will, if you give him time, explain it more so to you. Because this is, like I said, this is not something that we could preach this in 1 minute, 1 day. When, you know, the little time that we spend in church on Sunday is nothing compared to the bombardment of useless information we get in the next 128 hours. The point I want you to get here is the magnitude, that all this effort that God is going through to illustrate the significance of man and man's need to know and follow the will and word of God. If, you know, you got to get that into it, because, see, think about it. Everything that you know right now, everything you're pursuing right now that is not directly related to God, it's going to be eliminated. All this stuff going to be eliminated. Now, knowing God, that from what I can see in the book of Revelation, life won't be born without all these contraptions that we have concocted, okay? Because, one, the limitations that we have will be gone for the most part for the believers, for the body of Christ. Gravity will be at our command and not demand. Same thing with being able to travel underwater, being able to breathe underwater, function underwater, travel out in space. You won't even need a space vehicle, see? So it'll be a lot to do in the moments that you will always have time to worship God. You can travel, go to Mars, hang out at Mars, and go back to the throne of God and worship on a seven-day basis. The key factor about life is not to leave God out of any part of your life. This is why it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He mean that. He means that. All your decisions should be based on that. You know, it's sadly that we, if you weren't taught growing up as a child, you know, your parents, with the scripture, I once heard a teacher say, that the scripture, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. Now, when that was written, there was no Bible. When that was written, there was no church. So it wasn't really specifically talking about going to church. It was, though, teaching them about God and how to have a relationship with God. But it is their life. Goal, life objectives should be between them and God. And then once they get the revelation, the parent should get involved in helping them achieve that, because that's where they play a role in life. Some people have a natural gift, you know. You know, I have a son that's a good money manager. You know, I have a son that's a good manager, period. That's in their nature. Me, I'm an auto guy. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. I have a car right now that, you know, even though it's a higher level of technology than I went to school for, much, much higher, it doesn't take me long to figure it out, you know. But I also pray. I do. When I get, only time I was having trouble the other day, and the first thing came to my mind, I just started working, and I did not ask God for assistance. And as a result, the little demons creeped in and made the little thing harder. I spent 3 hours. Now, I've been plugging tires, you know, for people that plugging my own tires forever, since they invented the plug. And here I spent 3 hours trying to plug a tire in. See, that's the other thing. We have access to the power of God because there's the opposition to God and us, which is Satan and his gang. When Satan got kicked out of heaven, he got kicked out with a third of the angels, it says. Now, it says, I can't remember, Jesus, I believe, said it, that God has innumerable angels. So we're possibly talking about trillions of demons. Trillions of demons. That's they are anti-God, okay? So, but their job here, again, see, so they exist as a tool. They apply the pressure, and we apply the resistance by the Holy Spirit. And we have more access to power than they did in the Old Testament. So we should be conducting our lives based on the Word, and you can't do that if you don't read the Word. If you don't read the Word. You know, I had a young man that wanted to know where I got my statistics. Well, one, I have a poll on my Facebook page that any pastor, I believe it's a Zoho survey, and you can make it anonymous. All you get is numbers, because they should. There's one pastor in another state. Polled his congregation, found out, you know, and it was really large, talking about thousands of people, and half of them wasn't saved. Because people will like a church. They'll go in there, they'll visit, and they'll like what they hear, they'll like what they experience, and they may even join the usher board and never have said something as simple as, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart," because that is a legal action. Let me repeat that. That is a legal action. Just as the Fourth Amendment prohibits the government from coming into my house without acquiring a warrant, they just can't willy-nilly at this time come in here. God cannot come into your spirit without your permission. That's very essential. That's very essential. That's why you have to pray the prayer, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." It seems simple. You may not feel nothing, and most times people don't. But that then gives God legal access to your spirit and to your mind, and as well as give you access to his. That's the difference between, I find that a lot of people, I wonder, because, you know, I met people of all different types of, quote, denominations. And one of the things I started learning was in the East denomination, there are these totally committed people. I mean, sold out for Jesus. They, when they pray, tell what denomination they come from. And that was, it amazed me. I remember this young lady that I had met. I mean, you could tell in her prayer that God was not a religion to her. You know, it wasn't something that stamped out, wrote out prayer. I mean, she knew the Word and how to apply the Word in her prayer. And that's key when praying. God says, say his Word back to him. All right. So, and I found it in almost every group. I mean, when you do some research, you'd be astounded what you learn about Christianity. But you're dealing with a person, Satan, that has an IQ of 2,500, and he has been at this game 5,000 years, and you are no match for him without the Holy Spirit of God. I look at how he's got people sold up and confused and caught up in their lives. Are going to be nothing. You know, the worst thing to be is to leave this place planted as a billionaire and then get over to heaven and find out you are in total poverty. You have nothing to present to God. All right. So all this to done, this shedding of blood is for our benefit. And it says something. It's the expense of our lives, and it also says the value of our lives before God. That's very critical. You know, because Satan, one of the tricks he play on people is he try to convince them they're not worth anything because they don't have this or they don't have that. Listen, that don't make your life value. This is sad. See, look at the game he got. I've seen a picture of what they call a yacht, mega yacht, you know. And he ain't going to take nothing. You can look at his skin. It's starting to fall apart. It's all wrinkly and stuff. What does that mean? Not. Nah. It can't make him younger. And see, and unless he get a revelation of Jesus Christ, He's just going to Povertyville, which is also known as hell, the poorest place in existence, Pogo. Believe me. You know, and don't think if you poe that automatically grants you a privilege to heaven. It does not. You still have to, as Jesus, you have to ABC, acknowledge God, acknowledge his son, acknowledge that his son was sent to die for our sins, believe that, then confess that. Remember that. That's simple, because I'm finding people are seeking. They really are. They really are. Believe me, I'm telling you. I joke not. I mean, I would rather, when it comes to just making money, I'd rather sit at home and make a day trade than to be out there driving for 6 hours. I rarely drive more than that. But I find and I hear people, particularly since this COVID and this war has started, that people are more open to listen to what Jesus is about. Particularly when you can explain them, as it says in Peter, be prepared to give every man a revelation of the hope that lies in you. So you should be able to do that. All right. So now we're trying to draw a picture. I'm using the same method that the Bible used. We've been in the book of Leviticus, and we've been looking at that elaborate activity. You got to get that picture in your mind. Remember last time I talked about a documentary called The Faces of the Devil, where they show the slaughter of an animal, and that when you see dead animals on the street and they make you convulse, and that gives that shit. When I ask God, what was all this shedding of the blood about? That right there shows. I mean, when you think about it shows what sin looks like to God. See, because we act like it looks like the way you see people act, they don't really have a revelation of what it looks like. Some of the acts I've committed, that's what it looks like. When you say, since my BC days, I did some abominable things, but still, it tells us right there, like I said, if there's a necessity for the accountability. I mean, when you get to the point, if you have the revelation, as a matter of fact, let's go get this revelation. Let's go to Romans. First, we want to go to Romans chapter 4, okay? We did do 1 John, Romans 4:23, one of the scriptures, Romans 3:23. When you out on the street witnessing, and the thing about that, you have to remember too. This is why when you get a chance, generally what we do when we go out, I haven't been since I had my hip surgery, is we first come up on the people, we offer them, ask them if they want prayer. So I think the God is putting in the hearts of more pastors to go ye, to send their people out in the street. You ask them if they want prayer, because that right there gives you command of the atmosphere, and you pray for them, general, know how to pray. You got to know how to pray. You want to clear whatever they need. Because if they need, see, this is the thing about prayer. A lot of people don't realize that they may need a job. They haven't accepted Christ, therefore they don't have a covenant. And they don't have a covenant that actually blocks God from being able to provide for them, especially when the demon that's around them is aware of it. And he will withstand any opportunity. See, God cannot override it. See, it's a lot of things at play. If you go back and you review some of my teachings on the priesthood, you'll begin to get a revelation of how significant we are and what God does. When you minister to a person, when you pray for them, then God can legally override the demon on the authority that he has given you. And this opportunity was purchased by the blood of Jesus. See, you're now, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, you're the royal priesthood. Notice it calls you royal priesthood. Okay. Now, but get this. Paul is teaching the Romans. It's just a lot here. I don't want to do the whole thing. I'm going to start with verse 22. It says, righteousness is right standing with God. In other words, you got right with God, which it explains that this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Okay, the point here, you know, the first time I read this, my first time reading through the Bible, you know, and for all my Catholic brothers and sisters, there's a reality here. The word all, you know, I don't know, it's strange that people don't know the authority or the office that the Pope represent as the vicar of Christ. I mean, in other words, a replacement for Jesus. In other words, this is a person who have lived their lives to the place where they believe they have no sin. That's not possible. That's not even possible. And everything that you believe must coordinate with the word of God. Otherwise, there's a danger attached to that and a threat that goes with it in Revelation chapter 22 near the end. Okay? But it says all have sinned. That means everybody. Like I was saying earlier, you don't have to teach kids how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to be manipulative. And then you look at how life goes on with people. People think stealing is right if they steal from a person that's doing wrong. Stealing is stealing. See, and again, God is looking at the third gen man. So what we do as second gen man will determine if we get to be that third gen man. Because in Luke chapter 16, again, I refer to that, is a man that ain't going to make it to the third gen level where he'll be able to freely travel the universe in the fullness of the authority of the power of God. See, Jesus had the power access to this without limit. Without measure, as the Bible say, we have it measured because this, you know, that's some dangerous power, and I don't think it's evident that we don't really get it because I still see people with their mouths saying things that, you know, and it's challenging. It is even more challenging if you don't know the Word of God. Now again, God requires accountability for our actions. When we recognize that we have sinned, we have to acknowledge God. Now, again, we want to go to, I'm going to skip over to Hebrews chapter 9 just for a little bit. We in good time. Because, I want you to bear in mind what went on. Now, again, this is why you had to go back. I know as my pastor was talking about the book of Leviticus, and he noticed, he said people don't read. They don't read that or the book of Revelation. And I remember reading it, and it has so much duality in it, you know. And to the point that what God told Moses, when you got to the point where Moses told the people, I went back and read it. What God told Moses, Moses told the people letter for letter, word for word. He didn't change nothing. And I asked God, I'm like, you know, it could have just said, and Moses told the people what the Lord said. But the reason it was documented as it was revealed later on, is because that's what God wants. He wants it. That's one of the keys to getting enjoying this life and being blessed in this life is to do what God say do, how he say do, when he say do. Jesus said, I always do what my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. See, now we like to think we don't have to be that close to God. because that's Jesus. Jesus was perfect. I ain't perfect. No, you are supposed to learn that. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. When I read that, I'm like, that ain't even possible, God. Work on it. But you get better. Believe me, you get better. You'd be surprised how far you can get. And some people get, and when you get further, God will show you more. Believe me. He will make this life easier for you, and your focus will change. You know, it's amazing. This is, it's really awesome. It's really awesome. It's really awesome. Okay, let me see here. Whew. You know, I think I want to go KGV on this because I don't want to lose the revelation. I don't want it to be so simple. Well, okay. You know, you really have to commit to study this ninth chapter, all right? Now, I understand Paul, again, is Paul, there's a cultural change, but Paul is, everything that we teach that was taught, that is written in the New Testament as far as the laws of God, the regulations of heaven, came out of the Old Testament. But what, again, as I say, they were done in type in the Old Testament. They are now done in full manifestation in the New Testament, a new agreement. But the point here is that we have reached, this is second gen life and how it came about. I'm going to start with verse 8. It says, and the Holy Spirit was showing that by this way the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was standing. This is an illustration for the dumb reading out of the NIV. You know, subject to change. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order, when Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is not to say not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonial unclean sanctified him so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Let me try to add a little clarity to that. Bottom line is, if you remember when we went back and we was reading in the book of Leviticus, and that the priest had to go in and make a sacrifice for himself, one of the designs on the priest's garment when he entered the holy place, which was commonly, when you hear the term Yom Kippur, was a once a year sacrifice that they made, particularly for the atonement or pacification for sin. Jesus, however, once he did it, he did not do it blood of an animal. He did it with his own blood. Matter of fact, if Jesus were to visit you now, he would be flesh and spirit, not flesh and blood. Now, this is why, because life, But his life, his life was poured out at the altar of God, and so now we access that again. This is why I went for 15 weeks trying to explain that Christ is a word of combination that explains the washing of our bodies, wise spirits and the washing of our spirit, and then the blood applied before the Spirit of God applied. Matter of fact, I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 17. I believe that's 16 or 17. Matter of fact, go back to Leviticus chapter 16. I want you to hear something here that God says, okay? And this is Leviticus chapter 16. Now, I'm trying to expose you to the power of the blood, even though that ain't the title of my blessing, but why the blood was shed. And again, you have to, as I say, pray and ask God for revelation. If you're not getting it, what did this mean? Because I know it can sound boring and insignificant, but the fact of the matter is, it is tremendously significant. Because without the shedding of blood, as it says, we'll get to in the book of Hebrew, probably not today, we might, we still got 5 minutes, there is no remission of sin. Remission is the elimination of it, you know, casting it as far as east from the west. And okay, we're reading, the Lord said to Moses after the death of his two sons of Aaron had died as they approached the Lord. I think I need to go back and talk about that. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. Now, remember I said, if you go back and I talked about when I was talking about Christ and I talked about the fact that if you were to be without Christ and you were to get into the presence of God, good as you are, you would die. Because his presence, nothing unclean can come in his presence and remain alive. That you would just die. You know, now they ain't got to do it, what your intentions was, okay? You would die. And God the only override to that. We ain't going to get to that today, you know. But that's what happened. All right. So, for me, when I know if you may not notice this, there's a term that describes what transition. I believe Chuck Missler tried to help explain that. When the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, come boldly before the throne, it doesn't matter which direction you point in. See, we don't have to turn to the east or the west or the north or the south to pray. When we get into the place of authority of the power of God, that's where the throne is, okay? We'll always get that right. Doesn't matter. You have to mark your floor and pray to the east, okay? You don't need a compass. It'll get corrected once you get there, all right? But for you to get there, took the authority of Jesus, took the death of Jesus to allow you access to that. Even though you may be, most of the time when I'm praying, particularly doing intercession, most of the time I'm in the basement, the lowest part of my house, but I appear before God. Before his, you have to allow, in your mind, I know you may not see it, but if you were dead, you'd know it. you know you'd be in the presence of God. That's so significant because everybody does not have that privilege. They don't. See, it's so many parts. People make assumptions. They look at other humans and assume, I'm just as good as them. I can pray. My grandma said I can pray. Your grandma ain't God. Okay, you must have a covenant with God. You must be washed in the blood. You can pray, but we didn't get to it today. But, you know, when you hear the term redemption, that means somebody has access or ownership of you, and you were bought with a price, as it says in Corinthians. Amen. And I'm running out of time. So I want to remind y'all that I have a book out now, particularly directed toward young people, but I would say it's for anybody to plan to live in the millennial kingdom with Jesus Christ. Because I cover a variety of issues. I answer questions about why things that I'm trying to explain now, you know, why God let Satan exist, you know, why did he go through this process? How do you pray effectively? See, because I find a lot of times people, I'll never forget being at a funeral and they called on this guy that I've known him for years that was a minister, and he, I don't know if it was his age and he was getting senile, but he couldn't pray. I mean, he sounded like my dear, just making up stuff as he went. I'm like, wow. You know, trying to sound impressive, and all he was doing was revealing the lack of knowledge of who he was talking to versus, you know, but see, if it was really just that simple, you know, the Bible wouldn't be so thick, all right? But we're talking about, basically what we're talking about is the purpose for the blood of Jesus, purpose for the life, and how you're supposed to assimilate that into your life. Amen. So to begin the process, see, in order for you to access to God, you need Christ. On one side is the blood, and on the other side is the Holy Spirit. And you can't access the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, for y'all two to be united, you have to be covered by the blood. Okay? That's clear in the Bible. So we're going to start with that. Amen. So just say this prayer with me. Father God, I believe your word, and I believe that you sent your son to die for our sins, and I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now, and I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that I am saved, and I am born again, and I am forgiven. Amen. You know, and it's amazing that when you read the Bible, when you read in the book of Leviticus chapter 4, all that was for forgiveness of sin, and yet in less than 15 seconds, that prayer does the same thing. Imagine how expensive. Go back when you read through there. Look up what that would cost. Remember, those were daily sacrifices. Look up what that would cost to pay for your sin right now. Brother, one of the end time signs is the nation of Israel is going to go back to animal sacrifices of that nature. And that's something to watch for. And I'm talking in the near future. That's a sign, a revelation sign that we are in the end days. It's going to be the reconstruction of the temple. Amen. And the sacrifice of animals for sin. Amen. Amen. But we have advantage of Jesus. Amen. So, see you next week, and remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
I love God. You love God? What's wrong with you? I love God. You love God? What's wrong with you? I don't think that I can live no other way. Truth be told, I'm living now on an A. Not to see them blessings in the modern day. The Lord I serve, he give them to me every day. I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you?
Love him, I love him. Love him, I love. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him.
You ain't got the money moving by yourself. And you know you did it with a lot of air. You know it's only one, it ain't nobody else. You got me talking song and I ain't rich, I'm talking well. See, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. See, I done been forgiven, I don't leave it. And when I say I love, I mean it. But none of this be nothing, if he comes in, I miss him, y'all.
I love God. You love God. You love God. What's wrong with you?
Love him, my lover. Love him, my love. Love him, my lover. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love, love him, 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 love him.
Wanted you to fall. You were left, but I do. I do. You could have lost it all. You remember I do. I do. No one could show you all. Oh, we got you covered. Let's just burn it all. That's what makes me love him.
Love him, I love him. Love him, I love. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love, love him, love him, I love him, I love him, love him, love him, love him, I love him.